Well, I grew up in Mount Vernon, Illinois, back in the 1980s. Here's some pictures for you. This is the home, I Google Earthed it, and this is the home I grew up in on 705 Pavey in Mount Vernon, Illinois. This is the appellate courthouse in Mount Vernon. Abraham Lincoln actually did some work in this courthouse. This is part of downtown Mount Vernon. By the way, we had a department store our family did that they opened up back in the 1800s in downtown Mount Vernon. But this is the Granada Theater. When I lived there, this is the only theater. I don't even know if they have another theater now, but this is it. I mean, old school, southern Illinois, 18,000 people population type place that I grew up in. But then I put a picture of the arch here. Because Mount Vernon was about an hour and 15 minutes away from St. Louis. And so you know what that meant. That meant we got some radio stations from St. Louis in Mount Vernon. And one of the radio stations that we would get was KMJM Magic 108. And they had this little jingle. I remember it to this day. I mean, I didn't even have to Google this. This is how it went. KMJM Magic 108. It's the one that everybody tries to imitate. I don't know the rest of it. But that's the first part of it. KMJM Magic 108. As you can tell, they were one of the pioneers in the rap music movement way back in the day. And I would listen to this, man. In fact, I'd have my cassette, you know, player ready to record. And as soon as I'm thinking it's going to be a good song, man, I'd hit record. That's how we used to, that was the old Napster, you know, back in the day or whatever it is, where you'd rip off music, right? The old cassette, listening to the radio, and bam, you grab it. Woo! All right. One of the songs that would play on KMJM Magic 108 was from a group called Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. All right, and they had a song called The Message. How about that? And in The Message, in their song, they had some lyrics that went like this. It said, "It's like a jungle. Sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep from going under." And then they go, "Huh, huh, huh, huh. It's like a jungle. Sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Uh-huh, huh." Right, so that's how the song would go. Those are part of the songs. I also did some breakdancing, by the way, back in the day. I was all that, man. I was all that. Look out. So it's like a jungle. It's like a jungle. So I was out, and I was looking up some things about, you know, life being a jungle, and I came across a popular motivational poster and saying online that goes like this, and I have a slide for this. It says that the world is a jungle. You either fight or you run forever. And so I'm looking at this and I start chuckling because I'm like, this is a motivational saying, a motivational poster. This is supposed to be encouraging. I don't know. It's a jungle. You're either gonna fight or gonna die, basically, or run, right? Anyway, so it's motivational. The world, it's a jungle. How many of you can agree with that? The world is a jungle. We either fight, we run forever, but we have some other options as the people of God. I call the world a jungle because, frankly, the world acts like a jungle. And the world is really good at swallowing people up. It is. Today we're going to launch into a new series that I'm calling Welcome to the Jungle. It's going to be a study of the life of Daniel. Welcome to the Jungle. And I know most of you are wanting the Guns N' Roses, you know, song right now. Welcome to the Jungle. Maybe we'll throw that in later. I got to get permission from my wife, you know what I'm saying, before we do that. That's pushing it a little bit too far, possibly. We're going to find out, though. Okay. I like to push things. Welcome to the jungle. You know, in many ways, the life of Daniel is our story. His story is our story. We, God's people, who are called by his name, who are filled with his spirit, who are set apart for his glory, we find ourselves living in a foreign land. Like Daniel, living in a foreign land. We find ourselves living in a kingdom that's not the kingdom of our God, not the kingdom that we were saved into. We find ourselves living in a place that's broken, that's confused, that's messed up, that's dangerous. We find ourselves living in the jungle, baby. You in the jungle, baby. That's another one. Anyway, I'm going to keep going back to those songs. They keep popping in my head even as I say it. But here's the deal. We live in this jungle, but Daniel gives us some insight in how we as God's people can live where God has us right here and right now. We're going to learn from the life of Daniel how to live in the middle of the chaos, how to live in the middle of the brokenness. We're going to learn that we can capture God's sovereignty and His power. And when we walk in the sovereignty of God, and when we walk in the power of God, we can then understand that we're not just here by accident, but we are positioned for influence. And that's the title of the first message in this series, Welcome to the Jungle, as we look at the life of Daniel. That we are, I know, Dee, you brought that word earlier. It was like you were right in the spirit, right? We are positioned, church, for influence. So welcome to the jungle. Daniel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Open your Bibles, because here we go. Daniel 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Verse 3 now. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, who were handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. In other words, he was looking for young guys like Evident Life Church young guys. You know what I'm saying? All right, okay. Verse 5, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. And they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them these new names, though. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. I always liked that name. I always used that with a kid, to Bedugo, Abednego. So Daniel chapter 1. There's some change that's happening, right? The people of God getting pulled away from their home, being put into captivity in a foreign land. But they're being positioned for influence because God is sovereign and He's in control. Now, if we're going to understand how, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how to be positioned for influence, then we got to be able to answer three questions. And we got to have the right answers. We got to have the biblical answers. We got to have God's answer to these three questions. So we're going to look at three questions this morning as we are being those who are positioned for influence. First question is this: who are we? Who are we? Because if we're not careful, the jungle will chew us up, spit us out. It'll get pretty nasty. It can rob us of our dreams, of the plans that God has. It can rob us of our peace, our joy. It can rob us of our purpose. But if we are firmly established in our identity, if we know who we are and live out of the reality of who God says that we are, then not only will we survive in the jungle, but you know the saying, we'll thrive, right? Not only will we survive in this jungle that we live in, but we will thrive in this jungle because we know the answer to the question of who we are. Verse 3, the king ordered Ashpenaz, king or chief of the court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites. So he ordered to bring in some of the Israelites. Israelites were who? Children of God, the people of God. So he ordered them to bring in some of the people of God from the royal family and from the nobility. So like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we got to understand that we too are the people of God. We got to understand that we are royalty. And we got to understand that we are nobility. This is what Peter says about us, about the church, about the people of God. And I want you to take this in right now. He says this in 1 Peter 2:9. He says, but you, speaking to the church, speaking to all of those in Christ Jesus, but you are a chosen people. Not just an accident. You're a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. That means a set apart people and a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Church, that's who we are. In Christ Jesus, we got to know who we are. We're sons and daughters. We're not orphans any longer. We've been adopted into the family of God. We belong. We're not accidents. We are members of the royal household of God. God's word declares and speaks over you that you are an heir and you're a co-heir with Christ Jesus. That's a mind blower right there. Who are we? Chosen, royal, holy, set apart, belonging to the creator of the universe. God's promises, God's kingdom, his presence, all of these things are not a pipe dream anymore for us. These are our inheritance. These are ours now in Christ Jesus because who we are now in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors. We have the victory. We're filled with the power of God. We can move mountains, and we are world changers. We're world changers, mountain movers. That's who we are. But check this out. The devil doesn't want us to live in this truth. Because if we really believe who God says we are, then we're going to kick the devil's butt. And I made a slide with that on it because I wanted us to all understand that. B-U-T-T. That's right. That if we really live in the truth of who God says that we are, then we're going to kick the devil's butt. And so the devil doesn't want us to know who we are and doesn't want us to accept or believe who we really are. He wants to rob us of our identity. He wants to rob us of truth. Not us, man. We got this right here. This tells us everything we need to know right here, right? It gives us all we need, man, that sword of the Spirit. Boom. So the devil works overtime to rob us of our identity. You know, he wants you to question your identity. He wants you wondering when you wake up in the morning and when you lay your head on your pillow at night. He wants you wondering, man, who am I? Have you ever had these thoughts go in your head? Man, I'm just a dirty, rotten scoundrel. I mean, I'm a mess up. I did it again. You know, I mean, there's no way that I'm ever going to be able to really walk in all that God says I am. It must not be me. These are the kind of things the devil puts in your head. These are the kind of thoughts. These are the kind of lies that he just floats by us, and he's hoping that we take it, that we bite, that we grab it. He wants us to believe that we're still sinners. He wants us as God's children to believe that we're still broken, that we're still powerless, and that we're still alone. That's what the devil wants you to believe, all of those things, but they're lies. Straight from the pit of hell, those are the furthest thing from the truth. Church, we have new identities. Our citizenship papers have been changed. We're no longer citizens of this broken world. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, new in Christ Jesus. We're no longer orphans. We have been adopted into the royal family through Christ Jesus. We're no longer sinners. You know what the Bible says about you now? You read this New Testament of yours, okay? You go to the New Testament. You read what the Bible says, what title the Bible gives you now. You know, when Paul opens up his letter, he doesn't say, to the sinners in Philippi. No, he says, to the saints. Because their identity has been changed. They're no longer sinners, they're saints. They've been made new. They're new creations in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all things, including our identities and what God calls us. All things have been made new. It's all changed. We got to know that, church. In fact, look, this is my view on all of this. If we continue to call ourselves by our old name and our old nature sinners, if you walk around and say, I'm just a sinner. And a lot of people say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Well, I'm a saint saved by grace. I was a sinner, but I'm a saint now because I've been saved by grace. I'm not going to call myself a sinner present tense anymore. I still deal with it. I still struggle with it. I still got to fight it. And it breaks my heart when I fall into a place of sin. But that's not my identity anymore. I'm a saint. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And in fact, I think if we go back and we keep calling ourselves and identifying with our old nature, I believe we're trampling on the blood of Christ Jesus. I believe we're selling short or completely disregarding what Christ has done for us. It matters. Names matter. Words matter. What we say, what we believe, what we call ourselves matters. If you call your kid a winner, they're going to probably grow up. They're going to think they're a winner and they're going to live like a winner. You call them a loser, they're going to think like a loser. They're going to live like a loser. You call yourself a sinner, what are you going to live like? You call yourself a saint? Come on now. Let's go, Jesus. I am who you say I am. I am. So, church, the first question we got to answer, and we got to answer right, is who are we? God wants you to remember who you are. I don't know, I've probably done this to my kids when they went to school, like for the first time, or when they went off to college, or when Jake got married. I don't know if I ever use this term, but you know how parents will do this sometimes. You're sending your kid off, right, into the world. And so you tell them, remember who you are. Y'all have heard that, right? Sending off your kid. Remember who you are. And I believe our Heavenly Father wants to say that to us even right now today. Remember who you are. So I want you to say this after me. I want you to say it like you mean it too. I want you to say, I am. All God says I am. Okay, that was good. I don't have to do it again because that was so good, but I'm going to do it again because I just want to say it again myself. I am. All God says I am. Amen. Amen. And maybe we need to say that every morning. And believe that every morning, so we walk in that every single day. So to be positioned for influence, we've answered the first question. Who are we? Come on, we know who we are now. We are new creations. We are saints. We are ready to kick the devil's butt. That's who we are right now. Let's look at question number two. We got to answer another question. Where are we? So we know who we are, but where are we? So I looked at the news. 3 days ago, I just thought, you know what? I don't have time to go and try to find the most scandalous headlines that are in the news to really shock and awe the church on Sunday morning. I'm just going to pick the first headlines I see from that day. Was what, 3 days ago? That was Thursday or something like that, right? And this is what I saw. So where are we? Let's look at the headlines. One officer dead, 6 others wounded in South Carolina shooting. Where are we? More U.S. teens are rejecting boy or girl gender identities, a study finds. Where are we? Student who stabbed roommate to death free after short sentence. So where are we? A man found in filthy shed, held against his will for decades, police say. I read that article. That was crazy. It's over in the U.K., and this guy, since he was like 16 or 17 years old, was held as a personal slave for 40 years by these people. And they just found him, sleeping in a shed. Freezing cold, wet weather. Crazy. We live in the jungle, but I'm telling you, people, where are we? Man found in the filthy shed. Where are we? Las Vegas massacre survivor leaves hospital after 1 year. Can you believe that was 1 year ago? Where are we? Car explosion that killed dad, 2-year-old son, was murder-suicide, officials say. I'm not even going to get into the circus that was Washington, D.C. the last few weeks because that's just nuts, right? You want to talk about living in the jungle. You call it the swamp, you call it the jungle, you call it whatever you want, but it's messed up, right? We live in a messed up, broken world. Like Daniel, we find ourselves in what feels like a foreign land. You ever feel that way? You almost don't even recognize the land, the nation that we live in. We find ourselves in a world that doesn't fear the Lord. We find ourselves in a world that's fixated not on God, but on self. Saying that they're self-sufficient, that they're into self-promotion, they're into self-gratification, they're into self-survival, self, self, self. We live in a world that is filled with idol worship. You're thinking, well, where's the idol worship in America? Man, it's all over the place. I won't even talk about the idol to Baal that was put up in Washington, D.C. just like a week or two ago for a few days. That was insane. I'm thinking, how in the world does that happen in the United States? It was put up, it was on display for a period of time right during the Kavanaugh stuff. Crazy stuff. But the idol worship, I'm talking about the worship of money, the worship of fame, the worship, we've seen it on display, right? The worship of power, willing to do whatever we do, sell whatever we have, even our own souls, you know, for these things of wealth, fame, power, money, lust, pride, all of this stuff. We live in our own version of Babylon right here. Let's be real. We do. We live in the jungle. And the world doesn't feel like home. It doesn't feel like home to me anymore. Doesn't feel right. The writer of Hebrews says this. He says, for we do not have an enduring city. It's not eternal yet, right? We don't have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come because Jesus is coming back and there is a new Jerusalem. There is a new heaven and a new earth that are coming, and Jesus is coming down and he is going to be ruling everything. All things, Revelation 21, will be made new. Everything will be made new. But right now, we live in a city that's not enduring. We live in a broken city, in a broken world that truly is not our home any longer. God's word says that we're aliens now in this place. Where are we? It's like a different planet. Doesn't it feel that way sometimes? Jesus said this in John 18:36. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. No longer in the world. We're in the world, but we're not of it, right? Y'all know that saying? We're in the world. Where are we? We're in the world, but now we know we're not of the world. So where does this whole thing of who we are and where we are, how does it all come together? Because we know who we are, we have a new citizenship. We're members of the kingdom of heaven, but where we are is still the kingdom of this broken world. How do the two exist? How do we, the people of God now, live in this old, broken down, hurting world? I read something from Billy Graham, the late great Billy Graham, and what he said, and I think that this just frames it so beautifully, and I want to share it with you this morning. Billy Graham said, Christians are like the Gulf Stream, which is in the ocean and yet not part of it. Are you following? Check this out. He says, the mysterious current, meaning the Gulf Stream, it defies the mighty Atlantic, ignores its tides, and flows steadily upon its course. Its color is different, being a deeper blue. Its temperature is different, being warmer. Its direction is different, being from south to north. It is in the ocean, and yet it is not part of it. And so Billy Graham concludes, he says, so we as Christians are in the world. We come in contact with the world, and yet we retain our distinctive kingdom character, and we refuse to let the world press us into its mold. Isn't that beautiful? What an amazing picture of being in the world, but not being of the world. Church, we are those kingdom Gulf Stream people that are flowing against the current, that are bringing the warmer, more vibrant temperatures and waters into a world that's desperate for what we have. That's who we are in the world, but we're definitely not part of the world. I want to jump right to point number three here, question number three. If we're going to be properly positioned for influence, we got to know who we are. We all know that. Now I heard you very loud and clear. We're all that God says we are, right? We know that. And we know where we are. We're in the jungle, baby, right? We are in the broken world. That's where we are. But why are we here? Why are we here? By the way, did you see the new fall apparel for Evan and Life Church? You like that? All right. They're available out at the welcome table. You can buy them, purchase them out there, or order your special size, whatever you'd like to do. Anyway, just saying. Somebody was saying, let's put a merchandise table, a merch table out there, and you know, put other stuff out there. I'm saying that's getting a little bit too close to where Jesus would have to come and start turning tables over. So we're not going to quite go there. But anyway, we're actually losing money on these, so we don't need to worry about that. Nobody's going to come in here and turn anything over. It's all good. Let's get to question number three. Back to the Word of God. Back to Daniel. Back to being positioned for influence. We got to know why we're here. We know who we are. We know where we are. But why are we here? Two answers to that question. The first answer is this. We are here because God has us here. Why am I here? Why do I have to remain here? Because God has you here. You are right where God wants you. That's why we're here. John 17, Jesus says this. He says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. He's talking about us, his disciples, right? And so Jesus says, my prayer is not that you be taken out of the world. Don't you wish his prayer was that we would be taken out of the world? All right, but that's not his prayer. And he's sovereign, and he's good, and he's perfect. Can we all agree with that, right? So he says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. He's praying to the Heavenly Father. But that you protect them from the evil one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's praying that over us. He's speaking that over us, right? They, verse 16, are not of the world, even as I am not of it. So sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, this is Jesus saying, now he's talking about us at this point, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. So in his sovereignty, Jesus has us right here. And right now. And for me, that's all I need to know. Jesus has me here right now. Jesus wants me here right now. And Jesus has my back right now. Jesus put us here and he's currently keeping us here, he said. He's put us here and he's keeping us here. It's not an accident. It's not a mistake. Jesus has a purpose. He has a plan. So that's the first thing we know about why are we here. Because God has us right here, right now. It's right where he wants us. The second way to look at this and to answer this question of why are we here is that we are here as agents of change. It's another thing Jesus has spoken about us, his disciples. Jesus said, you are salt and you are light in this world. Red letters. You're salt, you're light. Salt and light are change agents. When salt shows up, things change. You get some flavor. You know, if you've been around, you heard about my grilling, right? And how I like to use a lot of salt because it changes the flavor. And, is it good? It's good. It's a change agent. Salt is used as a preservative. Salt's powerful, and when salt shows up, things change. Light is a change agent. When light enters a dark room, things change. You can see. So we're the flavor in this jungle, in this in this lost, hurting world. And we're the lights that are shining His radiant glory. That's who we are. We're change agents. Why are you here? To change this broken world. We're not here just to mark time. We're not here just to make it, you know, until He comes and just to survive. That we're not here as survivors. This isn't Survivor. It isn't. This is the kingdom of God people on a broken earth that are here to change things. That are here to push back darkness because we're the light. And when we enter a room, darkness should tremble and flee. We're the people of God. And when we move into a neighborhood, the flavor of the neighborhood changes because we are there. Things start to change. That's why we're here. We're not here just to criticize what's going on in the world. We're not here to just cry out, oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Everything's horrible and the church is ineffective. Well, if we're just sitting around making statements like that instead of standing up and being the church, then yeah, the church is ineffective. But if we know who we are, we know where we are, and we know why we're here, that we're here to change things, we're here to bring the kingdom of God, to be the kingdom of God, then look out. That slide I put up about what's going to happen to the devil. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens. So we got to remember this too about light. Light, I love this. No matter how strong darkness seems to be, it just takes the smallest bit of light to repel that darkness. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can send 10,000 fleeing. We don't have to be afraid of the dark because we're the light. And wherever we are, there is the light of Christ Jesus. And wherever we show up, in whatever room we walk into, darkness has to flee. It's not the other way around. Darkness can never extinguish light. Did you know that? The only way that darkness wins is if light retreats and is removed and leaves the room. That's the only way that darkness wins. If light remains in the room, darkness can never win. As we're in this world, darkness cannot win. It can't. Because the light of Christ Jesus, us, is here and now. And we're changing things. We're not taking it anymore. You know what I'm saying? We're here to push back darkness. Why? Because people are getting hurt by the darkness. People that Jesus spilled His blood for, people that Jesus had His body beaten for, are finding themselves in the darkness and they're dying for the light to walk in the room and to rescue them. We're here for them. We're here for Him. We're the salt. We're the light. We are the change agents. I'm pumped. I'm ready to get out in the world right now. I'm ready to open the doors and start running out there right now. Hey, we're going to go to Nando's today for brunch for lunch. A great opportunity. Think about the light that is going to be just invading that restaurant. Oh, my goodness. The devil doesn't have a chance is all I'm saying. Look out. And the Mexican food is going to taste even better with all the saints in there. I'm just telling you, it just happens, right? Because, you know, where we are, the Spirit of God is, the presence of the Lord is, everything just, it's a little more heaven is all I'm saying. We're going to split some fajitas, baby. That's what we're going to do. All right. So like Daniel, church, we are in the world, but we are positioned for influence, and we're going to see that as we dive deeper into his life, and we see how God used this man that was surrendered to the Lord. We're going to see the kind of influence this man of God had, and we're going to be inspired, and we're going to be launched into being the same kind of people like Daniel, people of influence in our world today, and the world needs it so badly. I want to close with a statement from the great apostle Paul. It's in Philippians 1, beginning of verse 23. Philippians 1, beginning of verse 23. Paul says, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. Amen? Amen. All right, we're ready for Jesus to come back. We're ready for Him to bring us right to Him, right? That's by far the best, no doubt about it. Paul's just being real. So I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better, but he recognizes and realizes something. He knows God's heart, and he knows who he is and why he's here. He says, but it is more necessary for you, he's speaking to the church, that I remain in the body, meaning in the flesh, on this earth. Convinced of this, Paul says, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Paul was sick and tired of living in the jungle. And we all get there, right? He was ready to go home and be with Jesus. But Paul understood that he was on this earth for a purpose. He was still alive right here in the jungle for a very important reason. And he wasn't here for himself. I think we all got to remember that. You're not here for yourself. You're not here for your own happiness. You're here for something so much bigger than that. So much grander than that. So much more beautiful than that. You are here because God has placed you here. And you're here to be an agent of change. I love that song that says, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Yeah. You know, I hear that song even today. When I hear that song, I start to weep. Because I think that is the most glorious thing. I'm like, oh God, let me hear that. Let me hear that. We're agents of change, church. So welcome to the jungle. Welcome to the fight. Stand up. Sit down. Fight, fight, fight. No, I'm not talking about that. Well, just stand up though. Stand up. I'm serious. Stand up. Oh. We're going to do this. Because again, our identity, we got to be firmly planted in it. We got to know who we are. We got to know where we are, and we got to know why we're here. We need to come into agreement with the Word of God that we just heard this morning on all three of those counts. Because we're here for a purpose, and it's big. It's big, and it's glorious. So I want you to say these things after me. If you're comfortable, if you want to raise your hands, you can raise your hands just as a sign of surrender and faith in Jesus. And just say after me, say, I know my identity. I am no longer an orphan. I am a child of God. I am no longer a sinner. I am a saint. I know where I am. I am in this broken world. I am in a battle for the souls of people. I know why I'm here. I am here to bring influence, to shine the light of Jesus, to push back darkness, to seek and to save the lost. I am here for God's glory. God has made me. He has placed me here, and I am positioned for influence. Amen? Come on. Amen.